On today's episode of Birthing in Finland, I will be here doing a solo episode, getting ready to leave the podcast for a few months for my maternity leave. I'll be sharing with you some of the things I'm doing in the last few weeks of my pregnancy, as well as what I've been doing to prepare for postpartum and birth. So stay tuned and thank you for being here. Let's get started on today's solo episode. Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Hi, and welcome back to the Birthing in Finland podcast. Today is a special one where I'm going to do a solo episode because I have a little announcement to make. This probably doesn't come as a surprise, as I have 1 month left. About 1 month left before my birth. And I am going to be taking this month of June 2023 to rest and slow down before my birth. And so I'm coming on to just share with you some of my thoughts about coming closer to birth, what I've been doing so far to prepare, and just to thank you for being on this journey with me from the beginning or from the middle or from just yesterday of the podcast. I started it March of 22, and so it's been a year and a bit, a year and 3 months. So it has been such a journey with over 50 episodes and many guests on the show, some professionals, some doulas, some Nest members, some moms and parents and fathers coming to share their journey and their experience with you. And it has been so fantastic. And I'm just really, really grateful and honored. So 1 month before my birth, I'm taking my maternity leave. I'm taking time to slow down. And in these last weeks of pregnancy, I feel really strange. This feeling of not knowing when the moment will come, not knowing if this could be the last night before my baby is born, or, you know, waiting and feeling between these two worlds of just having one child or not having any children, for example, if this is your first, to then moving into a different space of having more than one child, having two children in my case, and or having the first one, which is a whole new world and a whole new experience, stepping into the postpartum, into those very sacred and tender days and moments and weeks, is just like no other time of our life. So in taking time in this last month or so before the baby's born, I'm also in a way preparing for my slow postpartum, because the way we can prepare for taking it easy in the postpartum is starting to do that already in the last weeks of our pregnancy. But what have I been doing so far to prepare for postpartum? I wanted to share with you a little bit. The first thing is I've been cooking and freezing. Maybe you've heard me talk about this already. I bought a freestanding freezer, secondhand freezer, which is now standing next to my fridge and freezer. So I have more freezer space. And I have been using my books, especially the fourth trimester, the first 40 days, and my very newest edition, Village for Mama, which I ordered all the way from Australia, which has wonderful recipes, which I have been really enjoying. And I'm so happy I decided to go ahead and get it, purchase it. So I've been doing that. And if you've been following me on social media, you saw that my father was here and we were cooking together and freezing. So some of the food that I have is also food from him that I know that I love that he makes. So that was really nice and really fun and really practical as well to do that. In addition to freezing, I've also had the absolute honor of a friend and a dear colleague, Marie Andre from The Nest, make a meal train link for me using the website called giveinkind.com. And I have been sharing the link for people to sign up for a meal train to bring us food after the birth. And that is a wonderful blessing and such a good idea. And we've also made a little link to a page, a Google Sheet or Google document where we have put different ideas for recipes in case people are interested to cook any kind of postpartum specific or postpartum appropriate food that I would be so grateful to have. Another thing that has happened in the last couple of weeks is my amazing birth doula, Rosalia, and my wonderful Nest colleagues organized a mother blessing ceremony for me in Rosalia's wonderful new workspace, which she now has in her home. It's so gorgeous, and anyone working with Rosalia will be so blessed to be in that space. It was just marvelous to have the mother blessing. It was a surprise, and I was just pampered and cared for and loved on, and I felt so, so grateful and so carried and held by my community, and it felt amazing. The mother blessing ceremony is similar to a baby shower, if you don't know what it is, and in that ceremony, we focus more on the mother and less on the baby. And it's not about gifting for the baby. It's about gifting and showering the mother with blessings. And we created affirmations thing that I can hang up. And they were drawing them for me, and that will be hung up in my birth space for the labor. So it's really about feeling held and carried by your people. A mother blessing is also a really great place to talk about the postpartum and create that meal train. And the Village for Mama book that I just ordered, the one from Australia, it has these recipe cards which we can give out during the mother blessing to the people who are attending, your friends or your family. We're attending that ceremony, and then they can plan to cook that for you and sign up using the meal train link that you create. So it's such a wonderful ceremony to do. Another thing I've been doing recently is creating my little breastfeeding and changing basket. We don't, or probably are not going to have like a changing station in the house with my first. We didn't have that, and I didn't feel like I was missing it. We just change wherever we are. If it's on the sofa, then the sofa, or the bed, then the bed, or the carpet, and the carpet. So I have a little basket in which I included a few things. So I wanted to share with you what are those things that are in my basket. And these are things that probably will need to be refilled daily, if not more often. So things that are going to be there, but will have to be refilled all the time. So the first thing is a changing pad. It's not one of those one-time use. It's like a proper one made from fabric, and it has a waterproof cover on it. So that's something we have from our first child, and we're going to use that again. So the changing pad is folded in that basket. Also have their wipes and diapers, obviously. One change of clothes for the baby, which includes the pants, a shirt, and this like overall piece. So a few of those, but just like one change. Then I also have there my postpartum cards. I have two decks. I have the deck of the fourth trimester by Kimberly Ann Johnson and a postpartum affirmations deck by Nina Ruotsalainen, who is actually from Finland. And those two are really wonderful. And I've used them a lot with my clients as well in our postpartum sessions. So I'm eager to have them there to support me when I need some inspiration or some words of wisdom. I also have their breast pads, which I remember starting to use only a little bit later, a few weeks down the line, but they were then very useful and definitely needed. to go with this idea, I also have a Hakka pump, which is a silicone milk collecting device, which you put onto the breast that you're not feeding from so that it collects the milk that drips down or is let down while you're feeding from the other side. I also will include their muslin blankets, so when the baby spits up or to swaddle or anything like that, those were always very, very useful. So I have there like three of them. Again, when they're dirty, we have to put new ones. The water bottle, super important to be hydrated while we're feeding our babies. So a water bottle will go there, and ideally one with a straw. I find that one is most useful. It doesn't spill. It's easy. Also for the birth, it's great to have a water bottle with a straw so that you can drink from any position. another thing to kind of guide me and help me through is my Kindle, which I recently purchased because I loved the idea of holding it with one hand or not holding it at all or reading in the dark. The Kindle has been really great for me. And finally, a one-handed snack. So that can be like dates or cookies or nuts or anything that's going to give you this protein and fat and perhaps something that is more nutritious, so something that's homemade. It's wonderful to include in your meal train. Also, some one-handed snacks, and there are wonderful recipes for those also in the books I mentioned. So this is what I've been including in the basket, and the basket I bought has little handles. It was branded as a picnic basket. I bought it at Flying Tiger, if anyone is interested, and I've been just adding stuff to it, and I'll probably maybe add things to it later as well, you know, as the reality comes, and I'll see what I need. So those are all there, and they will need to be refilled every day, like the diapers or the clothes or the pads and the snacks and the water, and all of those things will need to be refilled every day. And I hope that the people who are here with me in my home, my helpers and my family, my doulas, can help me also with this task of refilling the basket. So what else have I been doing? Let's continue with that. I've been sending messages to my friends. I've been using my own script. I've been using my own script, and I sometimes even had to translate it to my mother tongue Hebrew to send it to some of our Hebrew speaking friends, and that was also a fun process of using my own script to voice my need for help and to say that, you know, hey, I will be needing your support, and perhaps it will be with making food and having a meal train. Perhaps it would be with taking my daughter to a play date for a few hours because she won't be on daycare at that month after my baby is born, perhaps. So voicing that has been really rewarding, but also has been quite challenging to feel into who are the people that I'm comfortable asking for help. And what I've learned is that I needed to change my expectations. And that was really interesting. So in the beginning, I was feeling like, okay, I know a lot of people in kind of a more shallow way. I don't feel like I know people in such a very close way. And is it okay to ask them, people who I talk to not so often? And then I realized that, yeah, why not? Why not ask them for help as well? Because this is a special time. And in the special time, the relationship can also be a little more special. So I have been asking people who I talk to rarely, but who are still in my community space and still know. And another thing about asking for help has been that I have also reached out to people who are in a slightly different position in their life or different place in their life than I am. For example, friends of my parents who live here, who are, you know, in their 50s, friends of other generations. This is also something that was really important for me to try and be okay with asking for help from the people who are of a different stage in their life, to really see how the community can come together to support me, and not only from other mothers who are in the exact same place that I am, raising little babies in the trenches, so to speak, with the water just barely above, with the head just above the water. And it was really important. And from so far, what I have asked, the response has been so overwhelmingly positive and excited, and people are just happy to help and they are relieved, and they haven't, you know, they didn't think about it before. They didn't know how to help, maybe. And then I send them the link to the meal train, and that's something concrete that I can send, something concrete that they can do and sign up for. And it has been wonderful to see the response, and to also look into my experience of what it felt like to ask, and to reflect on this idea, like, does it have to be a very close friend or not? Yeah. The next thing I wanted to share is that I have planned with my family members that they will be coming to visit us. So as I mentioned, July is the month of the year where we have summer vacation. And my daughter, who is 3 years old, will not be at daycare. So that thought of having just us two, me and my husband, with my daughter at home all day with a newborn felt a lot. And I knew that it wasn't realistic for me to expect that my husband would be with her and I would be alone with a baby, because I reflected back on the time when my daughter was born, and I didn't want to be alone with her. So why would I want to be alone with this new baby now as well, while he is with the toddler, with our three-year-old? Maybe not a toddler anymore, with our child. So it was very important for me to invite another adult into our support circle for those months and weeks that she is not in her daycare. So I have scheduled each family member of ours to come from abroad for 1 week at a time. And I have brothers who are already adults, and my mom and my dad are coming separately to support us in this way so that the support can be as prolonged as possible. My husband's sister has also agreed to fly in. So we are really trying to spread out the help as much as we can for a long time. For the first 6 weeks, this first 40 days, the postpartum. So that was something that was really important. And I am really grateful that my family were all on board, and, you know, they know the importance of this, as this is something I've been eating their brains out about, the postpartum. So they do know what it is that we want, and we have had this kind of expectations aligning conversation, if you can say, to really voice from my side what it is that I will need from them and what it is they're here to do and what the day might look like. So, for example, you know, I'm very clearly stating that I'm hoping to be at home most of the time, hoping to be in bed, hoping to be with the baby. So the kind of help we may need is to be with our daughter, go out with her, play with her, make some food, cook for her, cook for me, defrost the food, help us with the meal train, go to the supermarket, all these kind of things that we will both really need and enjoy. So these kind of conversations have been very important in setting up the expectations, and then any questions that they have, we can then discuss before their arrival. So yeah, these are the things that I have been recently doing and I wanted to share with you. The next thing I want to do is to tell you what is coming up with the nest. What can you expect in these next couple of months when we're heading into the summer break? We're going to be taking a little bit of a slow pause with the nest as well. So in June, we're still having a meetup. The Positive Birth Helsinki meetup will take place on June the 10th. And it's every time it's between 10 a.m. to 12. And the topic for the June 10th meeting of 2023 will be about dads and birth partners. And I'm going to leave the link in the show notes to sign up for that. So please, please join us to talk about all about giving birth. It's especially for the pregnant families. And it's a wonderful place to meet other foreigners. We just had our May session yesterday, on Saturday, May 27th. And I'm recording it on the 28th. But it was a wonderful, wonderful meetup. And when we left, people were sharing how much it helped them feel connected and in community and not alone, and someone else is going through the same thing. And to find other non-Finnish people who are experiencing exactly what you're going through, that is so, so important. So that's happening in June. July, we're taking a break, but we are coming back in August. So stay tuned for the August date. And after that, we'll be there every month. So it's at Lillalukkan, which is just behind Kamppi in Helsinki. So really accessible with transportation as well. So that's that. The other thing that has been going on a lot is the Motherhood Talks group that I've been facilitating, the Mothers group. And that happens every Wednesday, also at Lillalukkan, and that's between 12 and 2. And so from that, I'm taking a break from facilitating that. So I will not be there, at least not in the autumn semester. But starting in August the 16th, it will continue with a different facilitator. And that will be Marie André, who is also a doula with the nest right now. And she will be facilitating that. And I am eager to join that as a mama myself and to meet other in moms who are having their babies in the same time. So that will be fun. I'll be on the other side, joining as a participant and letting Marie-André do the beautiful facilitation. If you are interested in some of Marie's work, she also hosts a podcast about motherhood and her motherhood experience and motherhood in general in the world. And in today, she's a wonderful person with such beautiful thoughts, and she questions things, and I love how she looks at things. She also has done amazing work with art and with her PhD on the history of women and women's culture. So really worth checking her work. The podcast is called Aquarian Mother, and you can follow her Instagram on @m_lessstudio, and I'll put a link for that as well so you can find it really easily. And I want to say also about having a doula in general. We talked about this yesterday at our Positive Birth meetup, and so I wanted to talk about it here today. The nest doulas are still here for you, and if you're debating whether or not to have a birth doula or a postpartum doula, please contact one of us or one of the doulas at the Suomen Doulat Association, because this idea of continuity of care, having the same person with you throughout your pregnancy and birth and after, has been shown to be one of the highest predictors of a positive birth experience. And unfortunately, we don't get that through the public birthing system in Finland, which means that you either need a doula or a private midwife. I believe this is probably one of the most well-spent money of your life. And if you want to know why I think that, go ahead and listen to the previous episodes of this podcast and find out the impact of a doula, as well as the impact that birth has on us as women and as people. Because when you go back and you listen, you'll realize that birth, the day of your birth, isn't just another day of your life, after which everything just goes back and continues as before. It is very much the opposite. So that's just a word about getting support and having doulas in your life. And the reason why we created the nest in the first place. Speaking about reasons why things were created in the first place, this podcast was created with you in mind, the foreign parent, foreigner parent who is trying to navigate the Finnish maternity system trying to understand and learn what it's like to be a parent here. And I hope that by listening to these episodes, you are feeling more heard, more seen, more supported in your really unique position of being away from family, having a baby in a foreign country, in a foreign place, constantly comparing guidelines and recommendations of those in your origin country of origin. These are really unique challenges, which we know really close here at The Nest and myself as well. As foreigners, we face unique challenges, and my mission with this podcast was to cater to precisely those challenges. So I hope that after listening to these episodes, you also feel empowered and educated about the options that you have on your parenting journey, and that you see that you do have options, the decisions that you can make, because you are the subject of your story. You get to tell your story. I hope that by getting information from here, being empowered from this podcast, you feel more confident to raise your voice, that you know your rights, that you know your options, that you know what you want from your birth and your postpartum, and that you go with it. And this podcast has received so many wonderful reviews, and it has been such a pleasure to meet the listeners, you listeners, in person. And to receive your wonderful feedback, my heart always jumps, and I feel so grateful to have been able to reach you and make the impact that this podcast has had. So thank you to all of those who told me about the difference that this has made for you. And if you want to still come and tell me, then please do that on my Instagram at mothers_transition, because I would love to connect with you and hear how these episodes have impacted you. If you're just new to the podcast, and if you're pregnant, you haven't listened to all the episodes yet, go ahead. And here's your chance to go back to listen to all 50 plus of them and to educate yourself. View it as a little basic childbirth education course that you can do at your own pace. If you've enjoyed the work of any one of the guests who was on the podcast, they would so love to hear from you and to support you on your parenting journey. And please tell them that you found them through the podcast. That would be fantastic. Regarding the future of the podcast, this still remains unclear to me. I have a feeling that I will be back here sharing my journey and experience with you. But at the same time, I feel that I don't want to commit and add more responsibilities to my postpartum self. I want to feel into it and see how it goes in the moment, and I hope that you can join me in this flow. So maybe I will surprise you with an episode here or there when you don't expect it, and we'll for sure keep you updated on what is going on with me and the podcast and how we're going to move forward when I know more. So for now, I'm taking a break to get into my birth brain mode and my bubble. I'm slowing down my pace to get ready for the birth and for my slow postpartum, getting ready physically and mentally, because as I said, creating a slow mindset at the end of pregnancy is very helpful in transitioning into a slow postpartum as well. I'm planning to spend these final weeks doing my prenatal yoga, which I've been doing at Purna Yoga, shout out to Nicola, as well as my daily essentials from the spinning babies, which have been fantastic. I'm hoping to enjoy the sun and be outside, treasuring special time that I have now with my daughter and my husband before our new addition joins. I'll be meeting my birth doula often. I'm planning to do meditation and hypnobirthing, nesting, baking, taking naps, and connecting with my baby as I am eagerly and patiently waiting for the birth. So, with all of that in mind and everything that I just shared, I again want to say a huge thank you to the followers and for the opportunity I've had to share this knowledge with you and for the wonderful time that it's been in creating these episodes. And as I mentioned, I hope to be back. I hope to surprise you with the episode here or there, and I will keep you updated as we move forward. But for now, I'm signing off for a few months, and I look forward to connecting with you in other ways. So always happy to receive your messages on Instagram and chat with you some more. So thank you so much wishing everyone a really wonderful, wonderful summertime to enjoy. And if you're expecting your baby soon as well, then love and blessings to all our mamas and families. Thank you so much. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode and welcome back next week. Just before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you want postpartum support from people around you but struggle with asking for help? Do you feel awkward to have this kind of conversation? Are you not really sure what to say? I've got you covered, and I've created just the guide for you. It's a word-for-word script that will help you feel confident to have this hard conversation. You will also receive the three crucial elements for a request for help, which will turn it from a nice idea into a reality. Until now, this script has been used only by my clients, and this will be the first time that it is offered for free. It's your chance to receive a great tool which has guided many of my clients in overcoming their fear of asking for help and allowed them to build their village. Do you want the guide that will help you build yours? You can download it now by visiting motherstransition.com. Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthing in Finland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours.